Coming to you direct from the nerve center of the galaxy's greatest comic. This is the 2000 AD Thrillcast.
Greetings, Squoxdeck Thargo around the world, and welcome to the inaugural 2000 AD Thrillcast. My name is Molchar, I am the 2000 AD publicity droid. Welcome to the first ever official 2000 AD podcast. It is an absolute delight to be talking to you. So for those of you who don't know, Judge Dredd the Mega Collection is being produced in association between 2000 AD and Hachette Partworks. Issue number one is out today, 21st of January, from all good newsagents and stockists. And for just $1.99, you get the complete America. Now, America is one of the most groundbreaking stories 2000 AD has ever published, and certainly one of the most, if not the most important, Judge Dredd story. It comes in an absolutely delightful hardback edition with the first part of a spine image, which when the entire series is published will combine into a fantastic image by 2000 AD artist Pat Goddard. If you want to subscribe to the Judge Dredd Mega Collection, then go to www.judgedreddcollection.com, where you'll be able to find all the subscription details. It is only available in the UK and Ireland at the present time, but it is well worth getting, not only if you're a Dredd aficionado, but also if you are looking to get into Dredd. It's the perfect way to get stories thematically rather than chronologically, so we will give you the best of Judge Dredd from the past 38 years. It is my absolute privilege to be joined today by Douglas Volk, all the way from the west coast of America, a man who is not just a journalist and a writer, but also a Dredd scholar, and indeed a writer of his own Judge Dredd comic for IDW, City of Court. Welcome, Douglas.
Lovely to be here. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. So, to explain a bit more to everybody out there, what we're intending, this is kind of meant to be like a companion piece for a few weeks to give you an idea of what's coming up in the Mega Collection, why you should be picking it up from your newsagents or subscribing and getting the awesome free gifts. The purpose of the collection is to package Dredd thematically. As many of you will know, Judge Dredd is published by 2000 AD every week in 2000 AD and the Judge Dredd magazine. It's also collected together in a long-running series, 10 years this year, called the Judge Dredd Complete Case Files. Now, that's up to, I think, volume 24 in the UK and volume 9, which is just coming out in the US. And that is Dredd chronologically. The Mega Collection is thematic, so we begin with one of the most groundbreaking stories in Judge Dredd history, which is Judge Dredd America by John Wagner and Colin McNeil. So Douglas and I are going to chat a bit about 2000 AD, Judge Dredd, and why America is the perfect point to start reading 2000 AD. And later on, we're going to be joined by a very special guest, so please do keep listening. Douglas, you know what, let's just go straight into it. Why is Judge Dredd America the perfect point to start reading Judge Dredd?
It really is, and I think that there's no other story that perfectly captures the weird balance in the whole Judge Dredd series between the idea that you're supposed to be rooting for Judge Dredd, that he's the protagonist of the series, and that he's the hero of the series, and that he's the villain of the series. That the idea that he's this incredibly powerful, dramatic force around which everything else revolves, and you're never sure what side you're supposed to be on as a reader, and your sympathies keep shifting. This is part of the genius of John Wagner, who wrote that story and wrote many, many, many other Judge Dredd stories, that he loves to play with your readerly sympathies. You're never quite sure whether Dredd is in the right, whether the judges are in the right, or whether there's something absolutely terrible about them, or whether there's something absolutely terrible about them, and you have to stand behind them anyway. It's an amazing thing to read and to feel the shift inside yourself, even within these stories, even within the sequence of America stories that's in this book. You go from the first one where Dredd is just the representative of this horrible dystopian nightmare, and gradually it slides you into this place where it's a police procedural, and you know, go Dredd, go judges. It's wonderful.
Well, I think that's at the heart of the story, and indeed the heart of Judge Dredd over the last 20 years. I mean, for anyone listening to this who doesn't know beyond just Judge Dredd as a metaphor often wheeled out to describe police brutality, Megacity One is a futuristic dystopia, 122 years in the future, where all democratic rights have effectively been suspended in favour of a society based entirely on law. So if you break the law, then there are extreme punitive measures employed by the judges, regardless of the severity of your crime. It's, as you say, an incredible invention by John Wagner and Carlos Esquerra, who's the other co-creator of Judge Dredd, that they managed to take what had been a fairly staple character of British comic books in the 1970s, which was the anti-hero. So you had comics like Battle Action and Action Itself, where you had these grim, gruff, violent guys who were not afraid to mete out punishment where it was where they thought it was due. But Judge Dredd's kind of something different, because he's not just a violent guy. He's not just somebody who has a mission. He technically has right on his side, because he, as as everyone knows, he is the law. So you know, so I think America kind of comes at the end of quite a long period where Wagner had really been juggling with this thing where it's like, well, yes, they're in the right because it's the law and the law is there to protect people, but the way they go about it is so extreme that actually they are fascists.
Yeah. America was also, it's a moment at which the whole series pivoted. At that point, I think Judge Dredd had been running for 13 years or so, and you could see in Wagner's stories him getting deeper and deeper into this idea, and that whole sequence climaxed with Necropolis, which I'm sure that the Mega Collection will be getting to eventually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as I recall, America appeared immediately after, or even just as Necropolis was ending, and it's sort of like this is the beginning of the new act, but it's also a beautiful place to jump in as a reader, not least because it's so gorgeously drawn. I mean, Colin McNeill's artwork is absolutely extraordinary on it.
Absolutely. And it's one of those landmarks where even, I remember reading it, and I was just a teenager at the time, it's one of those landmark stories where you're reading it and you're thinking, actually, this is a landmark story. You know, never mind coming back to it in 10, 15 years and thinking, well, this is really important. As you were reading it, you thought, this is really something special.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an extraordinary story on its own. And then, as you see in this book, there are the sequels. There's another story that happens 6 years after that, and without giving anything away about it, there's another story that happens 10 years after that, and another story that happens, you know, 4 or 5 years after that. And one of the really unusual and really striking things about Judge Dredd as a series is that it takes place in real time. So these stories were published 6 and 10 and 5 years later, and they happen 6 and 10 and 5 years later. You see the consequences of these decisions that these characters make over the course of decades, and it goes in directions that nobody could have anticipated and that really open the story up in amazing, amazing ways. I mean, it's hard to talk about this without giving it away, but where the sequels go is remarkable.
Absolutely. So, Douglas, let's dial it back a little bit. Obviously, we've been speaking effusively about why America is important. Let's talk about the foundation of this story. Let's talk about Dredd himself. Now, obviously, he's the most popular character from 2000 AD. First popped up in the second issue of 2000 AD back in 1977. Two movies, one we don't talk about, one that we do. Lots of really amazing creators have worked on Judge Dredd over the years. Why Why should people read a comic book about a fascist cop?
Why shouldn't people read a comic about a fascist cop is a better question. That's the heart of it. It's immensely entertaining on its own. It's funny. It's dark. It's exciting. It's thrilling. Thrill power. It's all about the thrill power. But it also grapples in a really, really interesting way with the idea of what law is for, what justice is for, what the difference is between them, how America, the country, relates to those ideas. One of the things as an American reader that I've always loved about Judge Dredd is that it's a really, really brutal satire of American culture that is by and for British people. And it's that sort of perspective on the US and how it acts within itself and how it acts within the world. And all of it, all of this is just subtext. I mean, a lot of it is just crazy action adventure, but it goes deep too. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the America as a story comes at the end of about 10 years of build-up, really. So to explain to the people who haven't got much knowledge of the backstory, in Megacity 1, as Douglas has said, where everything is very extreme, everything is taken to its nth degree, democracy is not only outlawed, but it is effectively a terrorist movement. So you have this particular group called Total War, who are democratic activists who bomb and kill people. And what Wagner did over and Alan Grant as well over a number of years was to really explore this idea that the judges as a system... That there is a question at the heart of the judge system, which is this right? Is this wrong? Is this preferable to the alternative, which is, as the judges would say, chaos? Or is democratic choice a fundamental part of human experience? So it's an incredibly rich thing for a strip that so many people think is just action, is just some guy breaking heads.
Absolutely. And what you see over the course of the series, and what you see, in fact, over the course of the stories that are in this first volume of the Mega Collection in America, is large-scale societal change and a microcosm of that. You see the way that the society of Megacity 1 is changing, and we see the ways that in which it might change. And this, of course, is all played out against the background of Hayek's explosives and gun battles and action and adventure and detection and all this, but there's so much going on behind it. It's Judge Dredd is not a static series. It's not Batman. He's not in Gotham City kicking the same asses forever.
Yeah.
It changes, and the moments in America are really some of the pivot points around which the whole thing shifts.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we've chatted for a little while, and I actually want to bring in our special guest right now. I'm absolutely delighted that we can be joined today by the artist on America, Colin McNeil. Welcome, Colin.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the 2000 AD Thrillcast. So, Colin, America is the first volume in the Judge Dredd Mega Collection. Now, you and I have talked about your artwork and other stories that are going to be featured in the Mega Collection. Why do you think America is such an important and pivotal story?
I've been struggling with that for about 20 years, actually. Because when I first started on it, when the magazine first came out, I mean, the magazine, from my perspective, from what I was told at the time, was it was going to be like a 2000 AD for adults, except it was going to be looking at Dredd's world specifically. So you'd be able to tell not necessarily kind of sort of sexual or violent stories. It's not in that sense, not that way adult, but kind of more deep political emotional stories, stuff like that.
Hmm.
And when I was drawing America, I knew this was something special, but I didn't know in what way it was special. Because this was John Wagner writing the prime Dredd story for the magazine. And it was, as far as I know, his first real attempt to do something kind of beyond that which he was able to do for the weekly 2000 AD. I treated it just like any other comic.
Yeah.
Any other strip which I'd done previously, I just threw myself into each episode, and I guess over the episodes, just like the way the readers would read it, I got to know the characters a bit more, and gradually found myself, I suppose, falling for them in a way, because everyone kind of falls in love with America, kind of thing, because she's that kind of symbol of that kind of unattainable girl, which everyone has had that experience of. Mm, mm. I mean, for me personally, I did see Benny as myself and myself as Benny, and so I could kind of understand his feelings and his emotions as he went through the story, kind of thing. Whereas Dredd was just Dredd. He was that unchanging constant.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing.
Go on.
I was going to say, I don't know why it was so successful. I mean, I knew it was going to be a good story, but I didn't realize just how pivotal it was going to be.
Yeah. I mean, but it's interesting that you mentioned that that Benny Beanie, who, for those people who haven't read it yet, is an old friend of America, the titular character. It's interesting that you mentioned that you felt that you were him, because of course the story isn't really about America. It's about Benny and the way that he gets caught between essentially an immovable object, which is Dredd, and an unstoppable force, which is America.
Yes. I mean, he is that. I suppose he represents that child inside us all. He is that frightened individual who has no control over his life. He's constantly buffeted by kind of desire and kind of authority and all that, and somehow he manages to come through this story, but he's not the same well, he is the same person, but he's not the same person. But he's not the same person. once you get to the last episode, then you realize what that actually means.
But, yeah. So let's talk a bit about your artwork, which, you know, at the time when I first read America, blew me away just for the sheer richness of it. Describe a little bit about how you worked back then.
It was fully painted, a mixture of ink and acrylic and gouache, colored pencil, airbrush, bits of photocopy stuck to the page, then painted on top as well. I mean, like all those, well, not all of them, but some of the shots of the Statue of Liberty later on in the story, they are actually black and white photocopies of pictures I found in a children's book in the local library, in the children's section, because that's the only place I could. I mean, this was the days before Google and before kind of the internet and all that. So if you wanted to find a reference to something, you actually had to go to the library. And I did do some of the drawings of the Statue of Liberty, but freehand. But some of them just to save a little bit of time, because I was putting so much effort into each page. I did actually kind of stick this black and white photocopy down on the page in the right bit, and then paint on top of that.
Right.
I know it's a little bit of a cheat, but nowadays people will just kind of grab a screenshot and kind of paste it into their artwork and then do special effects to it. And so it's just the same thing, except it took a heck of a lot more time. I did really throw myself into America. I was actually living at home at the time with my parents because I just left art college just a couple of years before. Actually, it was 1989 when I left art college. I'd already been working for 2008 for a couple of years up to that point, and I'd done Chopper Song with the Surfer, which was an offshoot of Judge Dredd. And then there was the Death of Johnny Alpha and Strontium Dog. And then America was the next thing I did after that. And that was, there certainly seemed an evolution of my style over those three main series. And I did spend, I don't know, a couple of days per page.
Wow.
And when I say days, I mean I'd start work at 8:30 in the morning, then finish about 11:30 at night.
so pretty intensive so, work then.
Very, very intensive, yeah. Yes. I pretty much had no social life at all at that point. I was just kind of head down, just falling into the work. Because for me, it's the reason why I became an artist, I suppose, at the end of the day. It's drawing was my place to escape. In the same way that kind of reading comics was my place to escape the world around me, kind of thing. Except in drawing, I could actually control that world. So I had a lot of fun. I mean, it was very hard work, especially using kind of the airbrush, because you used to have to use what was it called now? Fisk, this kind of plastic thing you used to have to cut out with a scalpel and all that, and just put on a page and then spray it, let it dry, take it off again, do another bit, cut it again. It's Photoshop is just wonderful. you can do pictures without getting mucky and without spraying paint across half the room and getting shouted at by your mother for dragging paint across the carpet. And yes, it was very, very labour intensive, but I'm still very proud of what I did on America. I mean, there's things I look back at it and go, I could have drawn that bit better, I could have done that bit better, I could have changed it this way instead of that way. But it's done. It's a moment in my life.
Well,
my artistic life.
let's talk for a minute about the opening to America, which I think, and I'm sure Douglas would agree with me, is one of the all-time iconic moments in Judge Dredd history.
Oh, the very first page.
Yes, yeah. With Dredd standing over, stamping on the American flag. Douglas, as an American, what's your reaction to seeing that?
Marvelous. Absolutely wonderful. You know, I think I've described the story to saying, well, it opens with Dredd standing on top of the bullet-riddled corpse of a woman named America, who is an immigrant who is wrapped in the American flag and is standing next to the half-demolished Statue of Liberty, which itself is towered over by an enormous Statue of Justice. You know, it's not subtle. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, 2008 has never really done subtle, has it? Let's face it.
Bless it.
But it's interesting that the poster for the second Dredd film, over 2 years ago now, was modelled directly on that shot. I mean, Colin, what's it like knowing that they drew inspiration directly off your page?
I never knew that.
Oh, really? All right. there was a version originally done with an American flag on the corner of the building that he stood on, but because of various sensitivities, and they decided to just remove that element of it. But yeah, according to everything that that we've heard, it drew direct inspiration from the beginning of America.
Well, I must have done something good then, I suppose, if it's if it was considered for a Hollywood movie.
But it's just one of it, I mean, Douglas, you've just done a very good job of describing the scene, and it's just it's everything that is the judges wrapped up in you know, one page. You know, it's the oppression, it's the repression of freedom, it's the dominance of law over freedom itself, and incredibly bravely. And I think there's very few writers who can do this and get away with it, and Wagner is one of them. Can put the end of the story at the beginning.
Yeah.
And for that to be cool.
That's absolutely right. And Colin, I'd love to know how much you knew about the story going into it.
Well, I had the first couple of episodes of the story. So I knew roughly it was going to be about kind of democracy and stuff like that, but I didn't know the twist at the end.
Okay.
Which I won't spoil for anyone if they've never read it. But there are clues to it, which I never really got. There was page 4, America sitting, doing her makeup, getting her hair ready before she goes on stage. And in the script it said there's a fine line across America's skull. Across her skin. It's very, very fine. You wouldn't notice it unless you actually look at it.
That is incredible. I'm sat here with the page in front of me. I had never ever that had never registered. That is amazing.
And that was in the script. And I didn't know why. I just knew John said put this in.
Wow.
And it wasn't until the very last episode that we realise what it's all about. So yes, I knew some things about it, but I didn't know other things about it.
Wow. For anybody listening, immediately go away and read Judge Dredd America, because otherwise we're going to stray into spoiler territory, because there's just too much good stuff to talk about. So yeah, if you're listening, you haven't read it, stop listening, go away and read it, come back and read it. It's just fantastic. And now allows me to ask this question, because you've talked about kind of growing with the characters. And of course, over the course of the entire series of stories collected in this gorgeous hardback, mm-hmm. you America is only in it briefly, because, of course, she dies.
Yes.
The rest of the story is then followed on by Benny Beanie, her friend, who has made quite some poor life choices by this point, shall we say.
Yes.
And then, of course, the story goes on to follow young Beanie, who is the product of Congress between Benny and America, and her admission into the Academy of Law to become a judge. And that has gone on for many years. I mean, well over 20 years now, this story has been being told. And you've been there pretty much every step of the way, because even in the recent Day of Chaos storyline, when they're towards the end, when they're storming the one of the renegade city blocks, Beanie is there. Yeah.
Yes, she's there. Yeah, she's this little girl from America 2, The Fading of the Light, is now a judge, and she's seems to be one of the major kind of characters of Dredd's universe now.
I mean, that's an incredible
makes
thing.
Makes you feel quite old, actually.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't the intention.
20 years ago, and now they're grown up. They've got a real job and stuff like that, and it's like kind of.
But
there's a reason my chin's white.
As an artist, that must be incredible to have been there for all those big moments. You know, to have grown with this character as she has grown up into a fully fledged judge.
Well, yes, I mean, I do feel very lucky to have. Well, first of all, to still be doing this 20 years later. It's really quite amazing, actually. It's I don't consider myself one of the greats at all. I'm just a bloke who draws comics.
I can think of a legion of people, myself included, who disagree with you there.
Well,
absolutely. Yes, you're wrong, but... Colin. You're wrong.
But you know, it's hard to describe. It's. I mean, I'm just a bloke from the north of Scotland who, like, drawing on his jotter at school and getting shouted at by the teacher for doing such things, and managed to kind of get a job, kind of drawing a comic at. I got drawing a strip at Chidesney D, and here I am, kind of, well, this is 29 years later since I first started drawing for Chidesney D. And it's still a bit of a shock. it's kind of, surely somebody must tweet by now. It's kind of, I'm just this kind of little comics fan who kind of like drawing and kind of fell into comics.
Yeah.
But it's really nice to be part of this great big story. And all these little moments. I mean, like in America too. I mean, there's a bit of a stylistic change of art from America 1 to America 2. But it still has its moments. I mean, it's very much of its time with the digital colouring, because colouring was very new. Technology was still very new at that point. Mm. But even in that story, there's a few moments where it really is quite hard-edged. But people don't really tend to talk about it because it doesn't have the great kind of painted kind of colour as of the first one. Mm. Well, I guess that...
Before we recorded this podcast, I sat and read through the collection, the Mega Collection first edition, and what does strike me about America 2 is it doesn't necessarily have those big grand moments from the first America story.
No.
But what it does have is a far more complex story. It has, and Douglas may be able to talk some more on this, it's full of mistakes. Everybody is making a mistake, whether it's Benny who has his brain transplanted into America's body, or whether it's the judges, this judge who allows a rather serious sexual assault to take place. It's where everything can really completely falls apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that the ending of the Second America story is brilliant and also completely terrifying. Like, is there anything that could have happened to America's dream that is any worse than, you know, having her daughter become a judge?
like
losing the happy little kid who's playing with her lizard at the beginning of the story to her worst nightmare. Mm. And then the third story completely turns that around. And I love the look of the third story as well, like the third and fourth stories in the collection, where you've kind of shifted to this amazing kind of pen and ink style that's very, very different from the early stuff, but it's completely gorgeous on its own. It really has this character to it that looks like it's really, really evolved from the world that we saw in the earlier stories.
No, absolutely, absolutely, and it's almost as if the strip is evolving, and Colin's style is evolving as the situation and as, you know, America grows up.
Well, yes, because it's been 20 years since the first two America, and I've always tried to evolve my style every few years. I've always tried to push myself onwards and see what else I can do with stuff. And it's been, I think, the Cadet and the next story, Judgment Call, you can really see where things have evolved from America too. Because in Cadet, kind of things were a bit more together, not quite there yet. But by Judgment, by the time Judgment Call came along, it was really beginning to feel a bit more grown up. In the way that kind of Amy had grown up by this point.
Well, there's those wonderful moments in Cadet, which is the story immediately after America 2, where she is purposefully going out of her way to make Dredd uncomfortable. Not because that's her sole purpose, you know. She's not a bent judge who's just doing it to undermine him. It's just like a little niggle as she gets on with the job, and the biggest achievement she has, certainly in Dredd's eyes, is becoming a good judge.
Yes, I mean it's all about being the best you can be, whether it's being a good judge or just a good person, and trying to find the balance between the two. Because she must be conscious of kind of what her mother was all about, what her father was all about, but also what the judges are all about. And I think she is, I suppose, in some ways, maybe a representation of Dredd's conscience, perhaps. She can kind of say the things that Dredd really can't. I mean, he could, but it would be kind of somewhat out of character for him.
Well, she's a smattering of empathy, really, within the system.
That's the word.
Yeah.
There's a reason I'm an artist. Not a writer.
But I don't know if Douglas can confirm. It may just be my memory playing up. But I think there is a moment in one of the Beanie stories where she does say, you know, I'm trying to change things from within. It's not about, you know, being like my mother and attacking the system. It's trying to be a force for good within it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we see in the fourth one, in Judgment Call, is that Dredd has come to respect that. Like, he respects her as a colleague, and he's like, well, I wouldn't do things the way that she does it, but she can do things the way she wants to do it. Like, that's a moment that we'd never really seen from Dredd before, and it doesn't come off as breaking character at all. It comes off as like, well, this is what the last 20 years worth of stories have led up to. This little moment where we see that he hasn't changed himself, but he's willing to admit that there is a different way of his of doing things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it what's really noticeable about the more exposure he has to Beanie is that, again, as you say, he's not changing, but he's just being more lenient towards the other ways that people want to do things. We're running out of time a little bit, so I will just kind of round off by saying, rather to my surprise, and I didn't notice this until I had the book in my hands, Matt Smith, the editor 2008, who's also edited the Mega Collection, has included quite possibly my favourite Colin McNeil one-off story from 2000 AD ever, which is Judge Dredd Firepower, which is a Garth Ennis one-off from the early 90s. Now, I hadn't been a 2000 AD reader for particularly long by this point, so it's just one of the most hysterically wonderful, hyper-violent, Dredd walks in the door, sorts the situation out and walks off stories I think I've read in a very long time. But go on, sorry, Colin.
No, I was going to say, complete with a cheesy ending as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You can make a start in the paperwork. I'll just do the shooting bits, which are fun.
Well, I like the fact that your description of a cheesy ending involves a man with a lawgiver in his chest. Sorry, a lawmaster actually parked in his chest. Is that cheesy?
It is Dredd. I mean,
oh, well, that is true.
Dredd's got big cheese.
that's always sentimental for Dredd. I'll just leave my bike parked in someone. But it's you know, we've talked a little bit about your style, but that's one of those stories for me that's just so much painted artwork. It can be really stilted, but at the time and still, you managed to do this incredibly kinetic thing with colour and with movement. It's incredible.
thank you very much. I was just making marks on the page and having fun. And it's at the end of the day, that's all I've ever really done is just trying to have fun with the drawing.
Sure.
Well, you also get to do the thing that I think every Dread artist has to wrestle with, which is doing character acting with a character whose eyes you can't see and whose face is mostly covered.
Yes.
Again, how do you go about that? How do you approach that for Dread?
It's a feeling thing. I've never done the kind of look at myself in the mirror, trying to get angles and kind of stuff like that. I've always tried to think of how it feels, a character's emotions or a pose or whatever, and then let that feeling come out through my fingers. And I suppose that's the main way that I get Dread to show emotions, is just subtle kind of subtleties flowing out my fingers, which I don't really have any conscious control per se about, but it's allowing that subconscious kind of feeling to flow through the pencil and the paint and or whatever it is.
I think it is a remarkable skill for any Dread artist to imbue him with emotion, but that's just reminding me of there's one moment in Judgment Call when I'm just flicking to it now. Where is it? Oh yeah, the third page of Judgment Call, where Beanie is interrogating Dread, and he kind of questions where her questions are going, and she says, I just thought it ought to be said, never let your perp get too comfortable in the chair. That's how we teach it, isn't it? And he just says, you've got some grit, kid, coming at me like this. Get to the point, my time's limited. And he's biting his bottom lip. And it's like one of those most understated things ever. There's a wonderful Twitter account. It's become a book, Very British Problems. And one of their things was signing off an email with the word thanks to show that you're more angry than you've ever been in your entire life. and Dread biting his bottom lip is him expressing that he's so angry, you know, it's all that, and just to have that kind of little tiny little character moment, I think it's fantastic. But gentlemen, I think we've come to the end of our time for this first inaugural edition of the 2080 Throwcast. So I want to thank very much indeed our guests, Mr. Dougley Falk and Colin McNeil, for joining me to talk about the first edition of Judge Dredd, the Mega Collection, which is America. It's out now from all good newsagents in the UK and Ireland. It's just £1.99. And if you want to subscribe to the entire series and receive some absolutely fantastic free gifts, then I suggest you go to www.judgedreadcollection.com and sign up there. Thematically, the series is going to look absolutely fantastic. The second collection, which is Mechanismo, also by Colin McNeil, is out 2 weeks from today, and the first six editions, I can promise you now, are going to be absolute blockbusters with some of the all-time classic Judge Dredd stories. But once again, I'd like to thank Douglas and Colin for joining us. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So this has been the first 2080 Thrillcast. If you'd like to follow us online, then please go to Twitter, .com/2000AD, or we are on Facebook as 2000AD. You can also follow us on Tumblr. All the links are on our website at www.2000adonline.com. Don't forget to sign up to the 2000AD Thrill Mail, which is your weekly burst of 2000AD goodness direct into your inbox. And join us in 2 weeks' time for the second edition of the 2080 Thrillcast, where we will be focusing on Mechanismo. So, thanks very much for joining us, and Splendid Verthrig, Earthlets.